Welcome to How to Money. I'm Joel.
And I am Matt.
And today we're discussing big money moves that you're probably overlooking.
Yeah, Joel, we're talking about big money moves, and man, like a lot of areas in our life, if we get a few things right, a lot of the other things will kind of fall into place, you know? If we prioritize the correct things, and in this case, if we prioritize our money for just the most impact, it'll allow us to not have to worry about maybe a lot of these other smaller things, all these smaller things that can sometimes take up a lot of room in our minds. And all those little things added up, I think, can sometimes maybe overwhelm us versus if we're able to focus on fewer things that do actually have a larger impact. And, you know, I mean, that is what we're going to talk about today, the things that have a larger impact to focus on those things.
Yeah. All right. Speaking of large impacts that money can have.
Yeah.
Recently, the lottery was at record highs. I don't know if you saw that. So last week, I think the Mega Millions and, I forget what they're called. There's like two different ones and they were both.
The national lottery.
Yeah.
Everybody can participate.
Yeah. And so I think both of the jackpots were valued at over $400 million, which is pretty impressive. And at that point in time, a lot of people start writing articles about it. Oh, look at the jackpots on these things. And more people, I think, probably get excited to play the lottery. Well, obviously, you and I, we would say playing the lottery, not a good idea. Your chances of winning are almost none. And you're just throwing away money when you play the lottery. But
yeah, financially, it's not a good move, right?
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to poo-poo somebody if they're like, oh, I like to do the scratch-offs, you know, or I like to pick all the numbers.
Yeah, or I mean, put $5 in the office pool and, you know, I do it with my coworkers or whatever.
Yeah. Have you ever, so yeah, that being said, I feel like sometimes I've heard of folks getting like lottery tickets in their stockings at Christmas. like for some people, it's more of a way of life. But yeah. Dude, lottery tickets never have been something that our family has participated
in. I don't think I've ever bought a lottery ticket in my life. And not that I wouldn't necessarily, but it's just not something I think about doing.
Same thing here. And like we said, it's fun. It can be fun, I guess, but it's not like a financial plan.
No, it's definitely
by
not.
By any means.
Definitely not a financial plan. But I think the biggest thing about the lottery is kind of the excitement meter that gets buzzing inside of us if we do play, right? I've played some blackjack in my day, and I understand the excitement of gambling. It is kind of a joy to do that every once in a while. So yeah, like every couple of years, there's a casino not too far from where my mother-in-law lives, and I'll go play. I'll put $100 down on blackjack, and it's fun for, I don't know, a couple hours. But
every now and then, please. Like, where's Joel again?
He's back at the tables, isn't he?
He's not here.
But to get in on that excitement, but to use it in a much more productive way, there's a bank out there called Yada Savings.
Yes.
And so I just want to let everybody know about this. We'll put a link to it in our show notes. But it's basically, it allows you to put money in a savings account and you get paid at a rate of 0.2%, which is not the best in the world, but it's also not the worst.
Right.
But in addition to what you're getting paid on your funds, you have essentially a chance to win big prizes based on saving more money. And that's the kind of lotto I'm into, Matt. Like every $25 you deposit, they will give you a ticket, and then you can choose, you know, what odds you want. Do you want to enter into the $1,000 sweepstakes or the $10 million sweepstakes? Obviously, the odds are much worse if you're entering into the $10 million sweepstakes. But yeah, Yada seems really cool. I kind of like what they're up to, making savings more of a game.
Yeah, I'll point out as well that Yada, it's kind of a dumb name. It's not the kind of name that makes you feel confident about where your money's going. It's like, I keep my money with Yada.
Yes.
It does look like Lotto, so I wonder if that's a part of why they did it. But I wanted to point out, though, that this isn't an actual bank, right? This is like one of these platforms that's a cash management platform. But the money that you do deposit with them is actually insured by their partner banks. And so it is money that is FDIC insured, so money that you have in that account, you will not lose. Or if you do, it's insured, right? Up to $250,000. But they have a legitimate partnership with banks who are FDIC insured. And so this is, again, one of these newer cash management platforms that are tapping into different ways that make us, that get us excited to actually save our money or to invest our money. That's something that traditional banks aren't very good at, but obviously a lot of these newer startups are good at. And so, yeah, if you're down for earning maybe a little bit less than what a lot of the online banks are offering, but you are enticed by the potential to win cash prizes, then check out Yada.
Yeah, I feel like the lottery gets people excited to be parted from their money, and Yada is getting people excited to save more of their money, which is great.
Yeah, so it's a win-win.
It is. All right, Matt, let's get on to the beer that we're going to have this episode. This one is called Holmberg Bound, and it's by Four Peaks Brewing Company. This one was sent to us by listener Jacob. So, Jacob, thanks for sending this one our way. We look forward to letting everybody know what we think about this beer at the end of the episode. But, Matt, let's get on to the topic at hand. We're talking about big money moves that people are probably overlooking.
Big money energy.
Big money, big money. Isn't that what people say when they spin the Wheel of Fortune wheel?
Yes.
when it comes to our personal finances, I feel like everybody's got like a sacred cow or two, things that they're not typically willing to touch, right? Something in our budget that we feel like is set in stone, at least in our minds. And then in this episode, though, we're going to ask you to open your mind a bit and let everything that you're currently attached to be on the table, be on the chopping block, because in particular, the big stuff that we often see as immovable because it's going to take like too much effort to make a change in our lives. Well, we often just allow that line item to stay the way it is, despite the realization that it would make a real difference in our happiness and in our budget if we did something about it instead of just like sticking with the status quo.
Yeah, it's also easy to get bogged down with the little stuff. You know, the small money moves that often get much of the attention, like cutting out a latte or the proverbial avocado toast.
Every headline I read, man, millennials supposedly love it, but I'm a millennial, not for me.
But you like guacamole.
Nah, not really.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Oh, dude, you're missing out.
I feel like I should, because aren't avocados like a superfood?
Yeah, they've got like all those great fatty acids that are good for your brain.
Right, I'll work on changing my taste buds.
But here's the thing. So we're talking about all these small cuts that we can make to our spending. These small money moves. And those small moves can be pretty gratifying, right? They can feel good because it's a quick and mostly it's a tangible action that we can take right now. You know, we think, woohoo, you know, with very little effort, I just saved $5.40. But, you know, why? While it's certainly easier to forego a to-go cup of coffee than to look at the bigger money levers in your life, those changes are also going to have a far smaller impact. And, you know, if you're in a situation that is calling for some bigger changes in your life, say you want to significantly ramp up your savings rate, or maybe you have to cut back because you were laid off, well, you know, it's tough to make a dent in your finances by just shaving a little bit here and there.
Yeah, and I think, Matt, sometimes we forego the big money moves. Like, we don't tackle the big money things in our lives that we could. And I think there's a few reasons for that. Like, one, I think it's human nature to let the big things lie dormant and keep things as they've been. We prefer to try the easy things that impact our lives in smaller, less meaningful ways. And while it's obviously really important to get the ball rolling so that you have any progress at all, only focusing on the little things can actually make it possible for us to never end up addressing the larger and more substantial areas of our lives where we can create dramatic results for ourselves if we would only be intentional in that direction.
Yeah, I think we like to stick with these smaller changes in our life too, because we assume, so it's sort of like you touched on earlier, that there are these things in our lives that we just can't change. You know, we say to ourselves that, like, I can't move, you know, like, we can't sell this house, we can't change schools. But, you know, many of those things aren't necessarily true. It's more likely that you can do those things, but you just don't want to. And, you know, perhaps the results would be far better than the status quo. It's important not to shut these possibilities down before giving them some thought and some actual consideration.
Yeah, I mean, Matt, you know, Emily and I, we sold one of our cars just a couple months ago. We talked about it on the show. And that was one of those things where, in my mind, that was kind of a sacred cow. Like, families have two cars. And it was kind of something I told myself. And had it not been for us talking about it,
dedicating an entire episode to convince our listeners to sell a car.
Right. It prodded me in the right direction. And yes. I was like, it is possible. And those are the kind of things that oftentimes we just don't allow ourselves to even think of that as being a possibility because we've told ourselves something else that isn't necessarily true.
Right.
I think, too, that the smaller things are often marketed or packaged better when it comes to personal finances, right? Like, a lot of financial books and articles make it seem as though our money goals can be easily reached through a series of very small changes. And, like, of course, a slew of small changes can certainly have a large impact. But often, to see the most meaningful results, you'll need to commit to changing some of the bigger things in your life. Like, one big change can be more powerful than 100 small changes.
Yes, yeah. And not just books, right? But like apps as well. Like,
yeah.
There isn't an app out there that'll tell you, hey, you need to sell your expensive house and move to a cheaper part of the country, you know? But there is an app that will help you to round up your savings to where it's like, hey, you just saved $2.11 today. There are lots of apps that do things like like that for you, but less so, you know, when it comes to some of these really big moves that we need to make.
Yeah, and by the way, we don't want to hate on the small stuff, but like today we want to focus on the big stuff. Like, it's not that saving $2.11 in a day.
That can be a great way to reach some short-term savings goals,
yes,
for sure.
Yeah, but the bigger things, man, the bigger things that people are overlooking are the things that are going to have the most impact.
Yeah, and one of the other reasons too, I think, that sometimes we avoid some of these bigger changes as well, is that there can be sort of this sense of entitlement, you know? Many things are seen almost as a right, or at least a cultural norm, sort of like you're talking about, like all families should have two cars in the driveway kind of thing. We're also talking about, you know, the bias towards homeownership. Just overall, the treat yourself mentality is so prevalent in our culture, and, you know, we're all about combating that. Seeking to curb that way of thinking is going to build resilience. It's going to build character and strength. And best of all, too, it's going to allow us to be more effective with our money and the actual goals that we've laid out for ourselves.
Yeah. And I think, you know, certain things in popular culture, sometimes they're like sticking points for a society. I point back to Aziz Ansari in Parks and Rec, and the treat yourself mentality, ever since that episode aired, has become even more of a reality in our culture. So, Aziz, I blame you.
It's made fun of, but at the same time, it's like, but I like that, you know, like we will make fun of that, but then we will adopt it at the same time. I feel like that's what our culture has done.
Then I'll
mentality.
Also put my wireless audio player on top of my DJ, on top of my Roomba, and, you know, make DJ Roomba.
DJ Roomba in the house.
But yeah, so there's
some Parks and Rec.
It's such a good show. But all right. So there's so much more to talk about on the big money moves that you're probably overlooking. We're going to give some specific examples of things that you should be looking at, of areas where you could potentially be saving a whole lot more through making a bigger money move. We'll get to some of that stuff right after this.
All right, we're back from the break, and we're going to talk about some of the big impacts that we can have on our money, specifically when it comes to a few different categories, as it pertains to how we earn money, how we spend our money, and how we save and invest our money. But first, let's touch on earning, dude. A big budget wrecker can be not having enough income, right? But the way most people tackle that problem is to find a side hustle that pays pennies on the dollar compared to what they're making in their regular jobs. You know, so many of us, myself included, are tempted to focus more on side hustles and side gigs versus ramping up your ability to earn more where you already are. The new and the novel can steal our attention from the things that actually would earn us more money. But that being said, you know, if a side hustle is leading to something that you're maybe more excited about, then we would say to go for it. You know, a passion project can lead to something bigger. For example, like this podcast. This is how this podcast started out. It was something that we started out on the side, and now it's something that you and I devote the majority of our working hours towards. But, you know, exchanging your time now for just a little bit of money with a side gig that doesn't have a lot of future potential only, you know, helps in the short term. You might win the short-term battle when it comes to earning a little bit more money now, but you might lose the overall long-term personal financial war.
All right, so I really want to give some sort of example from, like, a history of, like, wars and stuff like that, Matt. I don't really have one to give, though. I'm trying to think of who won an awesome battle but then lost the war. You got any references?
I'm not a huge history buff. Although your wife is. I feel like Emily's been reading a lot of World War II recently.
Yeah, I could bring her in. She'd know something.
Talking about that, but
I'm more curious about individuals in history and kind of
their stories.
Yeah, their stories, what they were able to accomplish. But yeah, good. I just figured I'd let you have a try. But yeah, instead of delivering groceries in the evening with Instacart, focus instead on ways to increase what you're making at your day job where you're currently working. Listen back to our episode with Rich Jones. That was episode 289, because spending some time learning and working on your negotiating skills could get you much further in the same amount of time than pursuing other avenues in which to try to make some side money. It makes sense to have a conversation, to sit down with your manager, your boss, to ask how you can advance at your company. Like, how can I take on additional roles or responsibilities? Where do you see me in the next 5 years? And how can I accelerate my progress? Those are good conversations to have, and those can ultimately be more meaningful working on those things inside of your main gig than trying to take on a bunch of side hustles that don't pay nearly as well.
Yeah, it's easy to overlook the earning potential of your main gig, of, you know, a career or an industry that you might be in where there is a lot more potential for future earnings than just this little side thing that you're kind of distracted with, the new shiny thing off on the side versus the thing that you should really be focusing on. All right, so that's earning. The second category we want to touch on is how it is that we spend our money, and housing is going to be up first, man. The amount of money that we put towards our housing every single year is massive. The Bureau of Labor Statistics reports that over 30% of American spending is on our housing. And so we would encourage folks to look at what you spend on housing every month and start questioning why it is that it's such a large expense in your life. It's kind of natural that it is, right? But at the same time, for some people, they're maybe overspending on their home and they're not necessarily finding that it aligns with their values, you know? But for, you know, for instance, us, Kate and I, I've talked about this before on the show, but we're huge homebodies. It's something that, in a way, our house is sort of my craft beer equivalent. I like craft beer, but I also like I like our house as well.
Well, I can attest, you don't get out much.
Only every other Monday. It's scheduled. But, you know, like, so, like, for that reason, we have intentionally spent a little bit more on our home than I think than most folks, more than I know that you and Emily have. But for us, it's something that we've done intentionally. And we all have different priorities, and that's okay. But I think questioning your housing costs and not just kind of going the route that most other people go is important to do, especially when this is such a large percentage of our spending every single month, every single year.
Yeah, don't leave the housing stone unturned, because it's rife with opportunities to save. And when it comes to getting those housing costs down in a major way, and I think often, Matt, the first place that people go to is keeping their utility costs down. It seems like something that's manageable, and you can, you know, quickly reduce the temperature on your thermostat in the winter, and you're going to save a little bit of money on your electricity or natural gas bill that month. Low-flow toilets or LED bulbs, again, those are pretty easy, simple things to do in order to save a little bit of extra money. But we would say that there are bigger fish to fry in the housing department. And that could mean continuing to rent instead of buying in order to keep your costs down, living in a smaller space, or choosing a less costly part of town, or even part of the country to live in, especially right now.
Like, yes,
people are completely rethinking where they want to live. And it could be the perfect time to move from a high cost city into somewhere that is a little bit more rural, or to a smaller city where it's just not as expensive to live every month. And I think in most of the categories in our budget, we're able to shave things by dollars and cents. When we change cell phone providers, it's not that it's not meaningful, but you're saving 20, 40, 50 bucks a month, right? But in the housing category, you can save hundreds of dollars every single month, or you could earn money through the house that you have by house hacking to the tune of hundreds of extra dollars a month. We talked about that back in episode 121. It just is important to note that when it comes to housing, I think it feels like an immovable line item to so many people. But you have options. There are things you can do to either reduce the cost or make more money from the asset that you have. It's not something that's set in stone that you can't do anything about.
And again, it's not that getting LED bulbs, right? And getting low-flow toilets and low-flow shower heads. It's not that these are bad things. Like, these are things that will probably save you money over time.
Yeah, yeah. And we talk about those things. We're down with them. Yeah, I like LED bulbs.
It's just that if you're looking to make some serious changes, if you're looking to seriously impact the amount of money that you're looking to spend and save every single month, then you've got to look beyond these small things, right? You can't just make some of these small tweaks. Instead, what you need to do is have an entire shift in the way you think about these expenses, and questioning whether or not it makes sense for you to live in that condo or in that house. These are the kind of questions we want you to ask yourself when it comes to making serious changes in your life. One of the other big expenses that we all have, or a lot of us have, are our transportation costs. When most people think about their transportation budget, they're maybe thinking about how much they spend on gas every month, you know? Like, how do I lower, you know, that cost by $5 or $10 a month? But, like, honestly, that's pretty small potatoes. Or maybe you're overly focused on your gas mileage. You're looking at a vehicle that's like, hey, I now get 35 miles per gallon. Woohoo! But by the way, I dropped $35,000 on a vehicle in order to achieve that, you know? And so let's talk about what really moves the needle in your transportation budget. When you're buying a car, getting a new one will set you back more, obviously, right? And so look for a cheaper model. About 8 years ago, when you look at the numbers, roughly one-fifth of all new cars sold were under $20,000. Dude, last year it was only 1 in 10. And on top of that, the median price of a new car is creeping ever closer to $40,000. That will seriously wreck your budget and your ability to save money. And so if a new car, you know, is your cup of tea, though, like, that's okay. It's okay if that's something that you value. But, you know, we would encourage folks to follow this rule of thumb, and we're going to call it the 10X rule, which is that whatever you spend on a car, you should be making 10 times that amount.
Yeah, So if you make $100,000 a year, you should probably be looking to buy a car that costs about $10,000, right? And that might seem like an aggressive rule. And I think, Matt, it kind of is. When we're talking about personal finances, there aren't many people that would recommend that people spend that little on a car if they're making that much money. But I think it's pretty obvious that the way that people are spending money on cars these days is not doing them much good. It's putting them into debt for extended periods of time. Lots of people are taking out 6 or 7 year car loans just to be able to afford the payment on a new car. And the average loan length of a new car these days is almost 71 months. The average person then tends to keep that car for about 79 months. So that means they're literally 8 months without a car payment.
8 months of bliss.
And then you're back in the saddle, signing yourself up for another car payment. And that's just not a good cycle to be in, to essentially always have a car payment that you never get rid of.
Yeah, I hate that for folks. Yeah, and so instead, look to that 10X rule of thumb to help inform you, you know, how much you can spend on a car. And that, you know, that means you might need to buy used, and in some cases, really used, depending on your situation. But the thing is, you really can find great vehicles in the $5,000 to $10,000 range.
And Matt, the only car that Emily and I are driving is a $5,000 minivan.
Yeah.
So I can testify to that.
Yeah, that's a great option. And like you kind of touched on earlier as well, we can look to owning fewer cars overall. Your family and our family, we're both one car families. Selling that second car can seriously come in clutch. And again, many more people can do this now because of working from home. It's not for everybody, but we made a good case for it back in episode 242. So again, don't focus on the little things when it comes to your transportation. You know, don't focus on the fact that you can get gas for, you know, 3 cents cheaper from at this gas station versus the other one across town. Instead, we want you paying less overall for your car costs, for your transportation costs. And oftentimes that does mean either buying used or maybe even selling a vehicle that you don't really need.
All right, Matt, there's more big money moves that people can make though, and including ways that they can trim their food budget. And I don't just mean trim, you can hack it.
Yes.
And we'll get to that and more right after this break.
All right, we're back from the break and we're talking about our expenses still, but we're focusing on ways that we can dramatically reduce our expenses. And food is another major line item in our budgets. It is easy to focus on the small stuff, right? Like cutting out coupons or even, you know, going with fancy new digital coupons in order to save more when grocery shopping.
No paper and barcode required.
Exactly. But again, it's not that the small stuff doesn't matter. It's just that there are far more effective ways for us to trim our food budget than to just going chasing after coupons.
Yeah, and actually less annoying ways, Matt, because I don't know anything more annoying than trying to cut out physical coupons and then keep them with you and then remember to give them to the cashier upon checkout. Coupons, is there any worse way to save money? I don't think there is. I think that's like top tier worst ways to save money.
I feel like you're going to get a lot of hate mail for that.
Maybe. If you like coupons, let me know why you love them. And the digital ones, less of a hassle. I understand. They're not too bad. You can go on, like, if you shop at Kroger or something like that, I've used those digital coupons. They're not that bad. Physical coupons.
Yeah.
That's what I'm pushing back against. They're a pain.
Don't like them.
Yeah. All right. So, but the big stuff, really, the ways that your food budget is probably getting crushed is food waste and eating out more than you should. And also, too, these days, getting food delivered to your door too often, right? Instead of eating out, maybe that's what is hamstringing you when it comes to your food budget. One of my friends, Matt, recently, she told me that her kid ordered an ice cream cone from Dairy Queen and had it delivered. And I was just thinking, one, wouldn't it be melted by the time it got there? And
not in January.
Yeah, I guess maybe not.
Hold it out the window the whole time.
I guess so. And then two, wouldn't it cost like five times as much as going down to
It's gotta.
Right, yeah. to get your ice cream cone directly from the store. But I digress. If you've absentmindedly let that food budget get out of control, that could be the main culprit. It could be getting that food delivery too much. Food waste is another really important consideration. It's estimated that 30 to 40% of food in our country goes to waste. And that's hard to stomach for multiple reasons, but it means that Americans are tossing out hundreds of billions of dollars of perfectly good food in their trash cans. And so, yeah, better meal planning and resolving to eat the food that we purchase is really important to curbing the food waste in our lives. And that commitment alone, being more intentional in that direction, is going to have a much bigger impact than clipping more coupons.
Yeah, I feel like this is a good time to make a case for leftovers. So here's a little mini episode on why leftovers are so great.
It's like your favorite topic. You preach this to me like every week.
I love leftovers.
I will admit,
first of all,
I had leftovers for lunch today.
Did
so,
you?
Yeah.
I did as well. And one of the reasons that you probably enjoyed your leftovers so much is because it's so easy. It's so quick to just be able to pull something out of the fridge, pop it in the microwave, and all of a sudden you've got a hot, delicious meal. That's one of the other reasons why I love it is like, dude, leftovers... a lot of times they're even better as leftovers than they were originally.
Depends,
you know?
On the item. Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, like fried foods sometimes aren't so great.
Too
as,
soggy after
as
you
leftovers.
Heat them up in the microwave.
Salad, not so good as leftover. But everything else, it's so much better than going home and making like a cold deli sandwich or something like that, right? And then, of course, the money savings. When you're able to eat those leftovers instead of just literally you're like scraping money into the trash can if you've got food on your plate and you're not putting that in a container and popping it in the fridge, man. I'm all about leftovers. But another way to move the dial in a big way when it comes to the money that we spend on food and groceries is choosing where you shop for groceries wisely. Shopping at Aldi or Lidl, if you have one nearby, will save you a ton of money compared to shopping at almost any other store. And opting for store brands as much as possible is another easy way to save big. No coupons needed. Dude, it makes me think of, too, how when our local Aldi was getting a facelift, it was getting like renovated or whatever.
It's so much better.
Oh, it is. So, we haven't really talked about that, have we? It's just organized so much better. I swear, it seems like it got bigger inside.
It does.
But they didn't change the footprint of the place, you know?
Yeah, it's like better organized. It's more well lit, which is
It's
huge.
Brighter. You can see everything.
Yeah.
But during that period of time, like the other closest grocery store to us was Kroger. And I swear our grocery budget went up 30% because of being, you know, being forced to go there instead of Aldi. And so I'm just making a case for Aldi. You know, like you don't have to drive all the way out to, you know, wherever your Costco is located in order to save big when it comes to groceries.
It's true. But you still can. If you want.
And, you know, you're not going to buy a Babe Ruth autographed baseball at Aldi. So.
That's true. So, yeah, that's another aspect of your budget where you can focus on the little small things on the periphery, or you can make some bigger moves to actually meaningfully cut back on your grocery budget. Eating in more, actually eating the food that you buy is going to have a big impact on the stuff that gets tossed out in your trash and also on the amount of money that you're spending on food every month. And Matt, let's get to some big money moves that people are probably overlooking when it comes to saving and investing too. And by default, like people are going to save more when they earn more and spend less. Like we just kind of covered those things, right? Which is great. So your savings are going to increase when you start to tackle these categories in a more significant way. But when it comes to investing, let's talk about the things that move the needle in a big way there. What people often focus on is finding the funds or individual stocks that are going to outperform the market. That seems to be something that a lot of young or novice investors are interested in. Like, well, what's the fund that's going to give me the highest returns for years and years to come? Or folks also maybe feel like they need to hire someone to help them get started investing. And so until they have the money to pay for a financial advisor, the services of someone to help them, they aren't going to be able to get started. I would say this, though, that perfect is often the enemy of good. So instead of focusing on those things, there are a couple of other bigger things that Matt and I would say you need to focus on first.
Yeah, one of which is to just get started, you know, instead of thinking about it for a year and then maybe talking about it for another year after that.
Oh, I'm really good about talking about stuff.
It's like, I swear, this year I'm going to do it. Instead, just get the ball rolling. A small move in an important part of your financial life can have big results over time. And that's because even that little amount that you're able to invest will compound over time in a way that just saving won't be able to accomplish. So if you haven't started investing already, start now and realize as well that you can easily get things started by DIYing your investing. You know, like most people don't need to pay for an advisor to help them with their investing. Financial advisors can be good for some people in some contexts. We kind of dove into that more back in episode 206, if you know, whether or not you need a financial advisor. But since getting started is key, forego the advisor in favor of DIYing it. Oftentimes we overcomplicate things. You know, we get too preoccupied with performance and the details and making sure we have all the small nuances, you know, correct. And yes, like you do need to make sure that you're doing things correctly. But honestly, when it comes to something as simple as a Roth IRA, like there isn't much to get right. It's like you can put $6,000 in there and then just buy funds within that account. It's as easy as that.
Yeah, and you could put it off for years and years and years while you're thinking about the exact right way to go about it, and trying to hit perfection when it comes to your saving and investing, or you could just get started.
Yes.
and get the ball rolling and learn along the way. And sometimes those early forays into investing are where we learn the most by doing it ourselves and by actually just getting started. And I think too, Matt, one of the other big outsized things when it comes to saving and investing is the massive impact that high fees can have on returns over time. And it's something that most people don't give enough credence to. The reason we mentioned companies consistently on the show like Vanguard, Fidelity, and M1 is because they offer access to well-diversified funds that have low or sometimes even no fees,
yeah,
which is pretty crazy. and you wouldn't think that there'd be much of a difference between, like, let's say a 0.5% fee or a 0.05% fee, literally 0.5% or 1/20%, but that can actually easily be the difference of $100,000 over 35 years of investing in a Roth in your lifetime. And so while that fee difference might seem minuscule, that increased fee that you're paying is going to eat into your returns, and over time it's actually going to become a huge chunk of money. So paying specific attention to the fees that you're paying on any investment account that you're investing in is definitely one of those big money areas that a lot of people are overlooking.
Yeah, that's right, man. So as we wrap this up, you know, it turns out I think that a lot of folks focus too intently on the small things. And so what we want to encourage folks to do is that, you know, when you have your next, say, budget meeting, it's important to put some of these bigger things that move the needle up for discussion. You know, you can save more than you thought you would, you know, ever be able to in 2021 if you do. So, you know, when you're trying to make some of these bigger money moves, if you're really trying to put a dent in your personal finances, you can't necessarily just like tighten your belt just a little bit more. Like, you might find that this is an instance where you just need like a brand new pair of pants. Like, you need to completely swap out how it is that you're thinking about these specific things. And instead of kind of just like ratcheting it, you know, a little bit more or just shaving a little bit off, it's worth looking at it with a complete new set of eyes, or at least from a completely different angle.
Yeah, sometimes it helps to have the goal that's informing the why behind those things. And we talk about that a good bit on the show too. But let's say you're in a lot of student loan debt, or you're trying to pay off your credit card debts and you want to accelerate the timeline. Well, these are the big money moves that they're not just going to get you an extra $20 a month to funnel towards that debt. They can get you hundreds of extra dollars every
200,
month. 200. Yeah,
2,000.
Yeah, to funnel towards that debt so that it's not in your life for a decade to come. That debt's in your life for a year and a half to come.
Yes.
3 years to come. And that's the kind of stuff that can get people excited, I think, about making these money moves. It's like, I'm willing to endure that big shift because I know it's going to have this massive effect at slaying this debt that I don't want hanging around much longer. And so, yeah, make sure that those greater money goals that you have are at the forefront when you're making these decisions. It's going to be helpful, and it's going to, I think, make it more energizing to make some of these bigger money moves too.
That's right, man. Yeah, absolutely. So let's shift gears now. Let's get back to our beer. This episode, you and I enjoyed a beer called Holmberg Bound. And this is by Four Peaks Brewing Company out of Phoenix, Arizona. And dude, before we actually talk about the beer, I wanted to mention Jacob. So he's the one who sent us these beers. And he talked about that during the pandemic, his monthly income was cut 50%, but he was still able to maintain his current debt levels without reducing how much money he was putting into retirement. You know,
wow.
he made other changes in his life that allowed him to stay on top of his personal finances. And dude, how well does that align with this episode?
I'm sure. Because Jacob was probably using some of the levers we just talked about.
Yeah. He wasn't. I doubt he was just like, oh, you know, I'm going to
clip some more coupons.
Let me just cancel my Netflix subscription. Let me, you know, get $7 or how much does Netflix cost?
I think it's like 13. 14,
is it really?
Yeah, something
oh my
like
gosh.
That.
So maybe you can actually save a lot of money if you cut Netflix. But it's not about just these small little tweaks. Sometimes it takes making some massive changes to your life in order to stay on top of your money. So, Jacob, we are really glad to hear how you were able to make some of those moves yourself this past year, and we wish you the best in 2021. And in addition to that, you sent us these beers, so we are really thankful and appreciative of you doing that for us here. But yeah, Joel, what were your thoughts on this beer?
All right, man. I thought it was really interesting. I don't think we've ever had a red IPA on the show.
I don't think so.
I don't think I've had a red IPA in quite some time. It's interesting because it combines notes from a couple of different beer styles. It kind of has like a brown ale effect with like some of the malty
yes.
stuff going on, but then it also has like a piney hop character at the same time. So it's like this really interesting fusion of two different styles. And man, I thought it was really nice. nice. It was definitely different and kind of like a throwback beer style, I think, that I haven't had in a minute. But yeah, I really, really enjoyed it too.
Yeah, it's kind of a blend between an IPA and like an amber ale. Yeah. You know? Like, and so what makes an IPA red is the fact that it has more malts in the grain bill. I think that's right. But basically, I mean, that's what gives it a little more body than an IPA typically, than a traditional American IPA at least. And it's what gives it a little more of that kind of malty sweetness. It's a really delicious beer. I wanted to point out too that the brewery, whenever they release this beer, they contribute funds from the sales of this beer to the Arizona Humane Society, and they have like on-site pet adoptions and stuff like that, which is super cool. Definitely, I don't know, with a lot of folks working from home, we've seen the different stories about how pet adoptions skyrocketed as folks were looking for companionship.
It's good for a lot of pets that needed homes. That's
yeah. So that's super encouraging to hear. And hopefully we'll be able to get back to more of those kind of in-person fun events like that as this year progresses. Who knows what we have in store for 2021. But Joel, I'm glad that you and I were able to enjoy this beer together. And thanks again to Jacob for sending this one our way.
No doubt. All right, man, that's going to do it for this episode. For folks that want the show notes and links to some of the things that we talked about, well, you can just go to our website at howtomoney.com.
And if you've enjoyed this episode, if you enjoy the show, How to Money, we would be incredibly grateful if you were to head over to Apple Podcasts and leave us a solid rating and review over there. It certainly helps out the show, and it helps to get the message of How to Money out there to those who need to hear two best buddies talking about personal finance as folks are out there learning how to handle their money better. So Joel, man, that's going to be it for this episode, buddy. Until next time.
Best friends out.
Best friends out.